Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Queen Vi's Reality Talk. I'm your host, Queen Vi, alongside my co-host, Mr. Hakim Mover.
Hey, hey, hey. Peace, Queen. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Finally got off of work on time. Oh, I got off of work on time today. That was funny. I ain't going to complain. Blessed to have a job. I'm not going to complain. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. A little on the busy side. I mean, I've been in dad mode, for the last day or so, and tomorrow's report card day. So I'm, trying to do the balancing thing.
Okay. Always important for parents when they're doing their duties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a full time job if you're doing it right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a blessing.
Yeah, it's one of them things that requires work. You be tired, and sometimes you just don't feel like it. But you do it because it's the right thing to do, and at the end of the day, it feels good. That you know that you did that little extra work. You may be complaining and cuss them out, but you did that little extra work just to make sure that they straight. So you know how it go.
Yes. My kids. In between the job, the business. Oh, my kids got a ton of things to do. The school. Then they got the little social life, so it's better than mine, by the way. And then they got the other activities and stuff that they do. I'm just like, So people gotta know it's that time, that Q&A session. It is Talk Tuesday. And so did we get a lot of questions?
Yeah, today I figured we have a part one and part two. So I figured we would, divide the purse a little bit. And, we'll do some entertainment, some business, and some news. And I guess we might as well start off the show with the big old elephant in the room. I've had at least 10 questions, either DM, text, or people just said to me, "You guys are going to talk about Kobe and the whole thing." But overall, what are our overall thoughts in regards to the passing of the late great Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the other 7 victims?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Because I had a conversation. I was having a conversation with somebody who's a huge Kobe Bryant fan.
Queen?
For others, You can hear me?
There you go. Yeah, it broke up a little bit. Go ahead.
And yes, we lost a great man that did a lot for the community and charities and stuff like that. And he had a family. So I do feel for the wife because she didn't just lose her husband, but she lost a child as well. And I feel bad for the other siblings as well, you know, because they have to deal with this double whammy of a loss. But I also feel bad for the other people that was in the team as well. And as I've told, you know, all I saw was Colby and Colby's his daughter. But, you know, we had another person that lost, you know, life at a young age. The parents. Did she have siblings when I passed away with the parents? With other children, correct?
I gotta pull it up. And in terms of the other victims, I know there was, I've seen adults. If someone knows any better, please correct me. But I've seen adults. I thought she was the only child on there.
I mean, the teammate, Kobe Bryant's daughter and her teammate.
Okay.
So that's two teenagers. The teammate's mother and father. So I don't know if it was, you know, if the mother and father had other children other than the one that was on a plane with them, you know. So that's a whole, you know, another family that's going to be devastated. Whether you have children that has to grow up without their both parents, you know, or other people in the household. Then you have the pilots. It's just like it's so many lives that's affected here. We still don't know the call. You know, of the helicopter crash. I was at work. You know, somebody actually called my coworker while we were at work to say, did you hear about Kobe Bryant? And, you know, we have these little hoax all the time where they say a celebrity passed away and they didn't. So the first thing I did was Google it. You know what TMZ saying? You know it's right. And when I pulled it up, and that's one of the things I saw a list of news stations, because we talk about time and time again, you have to look at the source. And I was like, wow. You know, because, I mean, nobody thinks about this type of stuff until it happens. You know, people just, you know, live day to day like they got all the time in the world.
Right.
Yeah, but.
Exactly right. It's a terrible loss, and it's hard to so what you said, TMZ definitely reported fake news. I know they got in trouble. I've seen that much because they, you know, TMZ has this thing where they have to be first. And it's unnecessary because it's to the point where TMZ is the official go-to place for certain news, especially involving celebrities. You know, one, they have a big web and they have a big budget, you know, and sometimes they get it wrong, you know, and shout out to Zio Styles. Yeah, they get it wrong. Yeah, I agree. It's first and wrong sometimes, you know, and they kind of got jammed up for spilling the beans on the story a little too prematurely when there was still. Yeah, something like this, you kind of want to roll out that information a certain way. You don't want to. You don't want to just blurt that out, and you don't have a police source, you don't have confirmation from some official city or government or law enforcement or something like that. You just, hey, we just heard this. You know what I mean? So it's dangerous, and we got to be careful believing everything we see, and you know.
Yeah, you because, know, I feel like it's bad when it comes to the media. Nobody wants to find out about their loved one on TV. Give time. Stop trying to be the first and give time for the media family to at least be, you know, told about the news, had the news broken to them before you just go running off. Just like in Facebook, they bad. People on Facebook bad about that too. Nobody wants to tune in their TV or open up their Facebook to hear about their loved one.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's pretty much how a lot of people. I listened to Shaq do a call into a radio show, and he found out the same way the rest of us did. You know, he had people blowing up his phone, and hey, what's going on? What's going on? And he went and checked a reputable source and found out. And what was scary, because it's funny. If you stop and you think about your timeline, that first 12 hours, 16 hours, you know, it was a lot of people showing out some genuine love, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't the guy to go buy a Kobe jersey, but I was the guy to say, that boy is amazing. He's the next thing that I've seen to Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? And I couldn't stand Jordan, but I respected and recognized his skill. Because, of course, they're beating up on your team. So, yeah. But to see how he was with his daughter and to see how he was with the other children and see how he moved and, you know, it was heartbreaking. And I like to consider myself to be a cool bastard, but that even got to me because it was like, okay, this guy was loved worldwide for what he did for the game, what he represented as a fatherhood and as fatherhood and stuff like that, and how much he was teaching and pouring into his daughter and her friends and it's mm-hmm. like, you know, something like that. He wasn't in the way. He was. If that was Donald Trump in a helicopter, boy, you see me running butt naked, partying and singing up and down Broad Street in Philadelphia. But this was a dude who didn't. He wasn't in the way. He just was being a dad, living his life, enjoying his retirement. He was in chapter two of his life, phase two of his life, some say. And to see that happen to him, it was rough. But it was always those few, which leads into the next question. How do we feel about the negative? I don't know about you, Queen, but I've seen a whole bunch of negative, ignorant, stupid-ass people. I've seen posts with the colored backgrounds. Why did it have to be Kobe? It should have been LeBron. What?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just – I mean, I was unfriending people with the quickness, you know, because it was just like, I don't even want to associate with you ignorant mugs.
Right.
And like, shout out the lady ranking. She was sending me all kinds of shit, you know, she was sending me all kinds because she had more people on her timeline who were just dumb young dudes who just had and a couple sisters. I don't care, you know, this, like y'all act like y'all know him. And then, listen, I don't know. What you think, Queen?
Well, when it comes to that, fortunately, you know, I was at work all day. I did get home to about, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock. So I didn't really get to get on Facebook to see all of that. But my issue with people is, if you see something that you don't care for, just keep going. It was bad enough that these people have to relive it over and over again because it's going to be, for a while, it's going to be headlines. It's going to be on social media. It's going to be on the news. They're gonna constantly see it, but then to turn around and see somebody bashing somebody, like I do know, doing a report that someone was doing, why did they have to bring up the cheating scandals or the rape charges. What did that have to do with the situation at hand? Why do you have to bring back something from somebody's past that's not even here anymore? Now, I see if it was some type of, you know, mass murderer or serial rapist or, you know, but those things, report the news of what happened. Have empathy, because that's what people lack. They lack empathy until something happened to them or their family. Then they want everybody to be sympathetic and show empathy.
Exactly.
You know, report the story and stop trying to throw dirt on somebody's name when they're no longer here to defend themselves. You know,
I completely agree.
The death is hard enough to deal with without having to relive all the negative things that go, you know, that will come along out of it. Talk about his what type of father he was, what he did for the community, you know, what type of player he was. Like, talk about those things. Let people, you know, remember him by the positive things in it. You know, that golden rule, doing to others as you want done to you.
Exactly.
But that's just, I mean, that's one thing I will never understand is why people can't separate certain things. You know.
Yeah, I saw it on CNN where the commentator went straight, you know, it was Kobe Bryant, and they're talking about his times with the Lakers. And then they start talking about his situation with his wife. Then with the sexual assault stuff. It's like, you know, are you kidding me? This is what y'all doing? Like, are you, you've got to be kidding me. Like, why is that important to a man who just passed? We're not asking you for his life documentary. We're asking you to talk about the highlights of this man's life. Sometimes you don't need the highs and the lows. You just need the highs. It's a tragic death. There's enough negative and hurt energy out there. Why increase it? Yeah. So it's rough. It's rough. Another question I saw maybe once or twice. Someone was questioning, where did this Rick Fox piece come in? Because remember the initial the day it happened, everyone thought that Rick Fox was on there, and his I believe his stepdaughter or goddaughter or something had to come out and clear the air, and he's fine. But I have no idea where it came from. Did you hear anything about that?
No, I didn't.
No, okay. Yeah, it's as you can see, it's real easy for the internet to get some stuff and just go absolutely crazy with it. And especially Twitter. You have to be careful of what you are reblogging and retweeting, because Twitter has a bad habit of just putting stuff out there. You know, there's a lot of trolls. There's a lot of foreign trolls. There's a lot of people who do things for their own gain or whatever the case may be, just to create some chaos. So you got to be careful of what you're reading on there, because it may not necessarily be true. A lot of the most popular hoax that we've seen on Facebook came from Twitter. R. Kelly died on a ski. Remember some years back he was skiing and he died. Sources say it came from Twitter. Somebody decided to put that out on Twitter just to see how fast it'll circulate. So we have to be more careful, y'all. Did you have anything else you wanted to say before we moved on from Kobe?
No.
Okay. All right. So I briefly touched on a story Boy. All right, so there was a story that took place regarding Wendy Williams and Method Man, of all people from the Wu-Tang Clan. And this question was asked by Lisa from over in South Philly. And she wanted to know if we heard about the story and how true did we think it was. It sounds very suspect. So, have you heard the story, Queen?
I did see something, you know, real short about it. It better not be true, but I don't believe it. But, oh my goodness, I would be so disappointed, Method Man. I'm extremely disappointed. But if it is true, Wendy, you ain't shit. Because how did you feel when your husband had a whole relationship with his little side chick slash mistress right down the street and had a baby and spending your money on, you know, on her? But
yeah,
I hope it's not true. The story was supposed to be that Method Man had an affair with her while the wife was battling cancer. And, you know, I mean, that would be definitely to add insult to injury. But hopefully it's
let's see. It early in the year, I think it was the 6th or 7th, maybe even the 8th, a story broke out where Wendy Williams, it came from her, of course, the shit starter herself. She did this this interview on a New York City radio station where she made a claim that she had a secret affair with Method Man, or they just got it in or something, and he felt comfortable enough to lay in her bed and pillow talk about how he cheated on his wife with his wife's primary care physician. So, all right. So, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But one of the things I do know is that Wendy Williams has been caught in more lies than we are aware of. At some point or another, we took her as being a truth teller, an authority on the truth. No, she's an authority on gossip. She dishes dirt. That's her wheelhouse. Now, much respect to her for turning that into an industry all in itself. We wouldn't have, what's the guy, Perez. We wouldn't even have a TMZ. We wouldn't have a Shade Room. We wouldn't have any of this stuff if it wasn't for Wendy Williams, who, you know, wanted to be the female Howard Stern. She wanted to talk about people's business. And she made it her business talking about people's business, and boom, look at her now. Now, if you just do a quick Google search, you'll see where Method Man is going all the way back to 2006, dissing and being, talking all crazy about Wendy Williams. So, one, the facts that I know is that Method Man's wife, you know, she is a cancer survivor. Two, he's very meticulous about any imagery that came out on social media regarding his wife. And three, he got off social media because one of those wannabe Wendy Williams bloggers got some pic of Method Man's wife in a ball cap or something, and they posted it, and he asked the person to take it down, and he refused to take it down, so Method Man just left social media for a little bit. And it's crazy because Wendy took that story and ran with it. Do I think he did it? I don't think so. I don't see why any heterosexual man would want to lay around with Wendy Williams. She'd like Chewbacca to me. So, I mean.
Yeah, he'd be going in on her. He'd be going in.
Yeah. The guy spent the last.
After he went in on her, he better not. But my thing is, why now? why feel so comfortable or obligated to say now if this supposed to have been happened?
I agree. And sorry, I'm drinking water.
If you're trying to get people to forget about her farting live TV on live TV, like what?
She
farted. She said it was technical difficulties. It wasn't her. It was a chemist or something that was going to be on the show that day, and that was from the backstage. But they were talking about it on 105.1. They was talking about it on Hot 97. But then she felt the need to dedicate part of her segment to talk about that and explain how it's not her. I mean, you know, it didn't come from her. She didn't shift to the side to release it because they was, like, really saying, like, yeah, she did it because she kind of shifts her body to the side, you know, so she could let it out, and she thought it was going to be quiet, but it was loud. So, yeah.
Mm.
But she felt the need to really explain that. And I'm just like, but he better not mess with that.
I just don't. There is nothing there to want, desire of.
Jeopardize.
He may have been high. He must have been on that. Ooh, I don't know. He must have been smoking some. Yeah, he must have been smoking. He must have smoking something crazy. That wasn't no Loud or no Reggie. That's for damn sure. Unless he got some something from Redman that he recognized. That's the only way I can see that happening. Because no man in his damn logical mind, unless you are into transvestites, there's no damn way that you can look at Wendy Williams and go, I want a piece of that. I'm waiting for her to go, oh, fucking Chewbacca. Ain't no way in hell. No way in hell. Her ass should be flying around with Lando Calrissian and Han Solo so damn weird, talking about who she slept with. And if Ruffin Man do it, keep denying it, brother. Deny. We all as men has had some raggedy ass piece of booty meat that we proud of from time to time. It happens at least once in our lives. But Wendy, goddamn, what this is messing me. Okay? This dude done been on TV. He done been in it. He ain't gonna get any little big booty chick he want out there. He gonna settle for Wendy Williams' manny looking ass. And then lay in her bed and tell her personal information about his wife.
Exactly.
This story don't sound a little fishy.
Right. So you was that much to lay in the bed with you afterwards and have a chit chat. Now, I feel you would have said you had an affair with him or you slept with him and you hauled ass afterwards. But he felt comfortable and relaxed in your presence. Because, you know, when you pillow talk with somebody, it's you care. Because now you politicking, you disclosing stuff. You know, you relax. Cut it out, Wendy.
Yeah, go lay your ass down somewhere. Yeah, go lay your ass down somewhere, Wendy.
You take another hiatus somewhere and get yourself together.
That shit crazy. Well, moving right along from you know, from that nonsense. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
I know I had at least one more piece of entertainment as I'm going through the message. We got a lot, you know, since we only do this show, this particular show, once a month, the questions come in, and sometimes they're repetitive because it's like four or five people with the same idea. And some of them are just messages that were passed around and, you know. Okay. The Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill shouting match. Now, I have to admit, I don't know. I don't know nothing about the. I saw it come through my timeline, but I haven't kept up with it. I haven't even did enough research on it to know who, what, where, and why. Have you heard anything about this, Queen?
Yes, I have. So apparently, Meek was in a store shopping, and Nikki and Kenneth came to that same store. Now, supposedly, Nikki was notified that Meek was in the store, you know, to kind of, I guess, defuse the situation before it even start, you know, trying to avoid things. And then some people say that Meek came to kind of squash the beef and be like, okay, you know, let's have a conversation. I don't want any beef. You know, at that time, I was in a different place. You know, I'm happy now. I'm, you know, my personal life and my, you know, career is in a great spot. And Kenneth didn't want to hear any of that. Now, you know, they're playing the blame game now because another side is saying that Meek didn't go to squash the beef. You know, somebody you don't like and you want to say something, you say something. So, you know, going back and forth with that, somebody leaked the video that works at the store. I saw another blogger say the person, well, she probably just very well got that person fired because she said the person was telling the story and said the N-word, like she said actually the N-word because she couldn't say the actual N-word because she wasn't black. So I'm pretty sure it's going to go back, you know, it's going to fall back on her and she's going to end up getting fired for recording and leaking, you know, what happened. Which when people work in these high-end stores, they see celebrities all the time. And I'm pretty sure, you know, they take pictures, sneak pictures of them or ask to take a picture or whatever the case may be. But being that it's a big altercation, you know, this they might find a way to do the blame game. But so now it's up in the air who started it, where they was arguing. Somebody said, now on the video, you can really hear, but you can't really, you know, see because they're sneaking to record. So it's like, oh, well, we can go outside. I got 50 people outside. Somebody else says, no. I got 100 people outside. So now it's going for from instead of them being able to coexist in the world because it's supposed to have happened over the award weekend. So, you know, everybody's out. Me personally, I don't know who started who. Now, I could kind of see Kenneth call himself defending his wife's honor. I could see it. I could see that happening. You know, he got a point to prove. Do I believe the approach was to squash the beef? No, only because people know who they're dealing with. And sometimes you just, if you're dealing with a certain type of person, you should know that a reasonable, rational approach is not going to work with someone that's not rational. And so what I think happened was, in my opinion, you had two people with a point to prove that probably talked all type of crap on social media or however else they was communicating and arguing, and now they come face to face, all common sense went out the window.
Well, that seems to be the norm when it comes to Nikki. You know, it's got worse when she married this idiot. So they were in the store first and Meek walked in, or?
He was in the store, and then when Nikki and him was coming in the store, the people in the store let her know because they didn't know whether she They didn't want her to feel blindsided if they had to cross paths. So I don't think they thought that it was going to escalate to what it was. I you know what I can't understand? People with money that want to do stuff to jeopardize. When you have a career, a brand, you have money, like, why would you want to jeopardize? Like, me, I mean, I'm not rich, but I don't want to jeopardize anything I have going on, you know,
well,
with certain nonsense.
Well, you know what, though? That's a, we need to do a show on that topic alone. Because look at how many celebrities, entertainers, athletes who've achieved status and finances that they probably never had. They'd be at the peak of their lives and just be out there doing stupid stuff. Just in the club, shoot yourself in the foot while you're in the club. What the fuck you doing holding a gun? Right? Mm-hmm. If you're a football player, world champion football player, you're in a club with a gun. Or some idiot with bags and bags of dope and coke and pills and guns and they snatch you off a plane. Like, why are you messing with this stuff? If you want to get high, cool. That's your recreation. But why are you out in public with the dumb stuff? Now, just reading TMZ's report, you know, they state that Nikki and her hubby, Kenneth Petty, had barely walked into the high-end clothing store, Maxfield, in WeHo, last weekend when Meek immediately gave them nasty stares. So that means he was in there first, according to TMZ. So, like, as soon as they came in, they gave him the grits. So I don't know. There's conflicted stories I'm hearing, you know. They were in there first. He's in there first. I don't know. But the bottom line is, you know, we all got the grits. Everybody going grit. How you respond to it, how you react to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You Nikki. You got more money than you need in a little bit. You got all these different things going on for yourself. What do you? That's your ex. Whether he happy, sad, what do you care? Let him grit. Just come on. Put a leash on that little dirtball young boy that you got. Because, see, she done elevated this boy. She got him all in her stories. He in the background, pop, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I ain't for this. Mm-hmm. You know, when she's beefing with academic, you hear him tell her he want to go trash academic. He on video telling the world what he going to do to academic, and this dude fresh out of jail, damn near. Nikki got millions of followers, and you in the background.
Exactly.
It's like, it's stupid. So either one of you
saw
him
with
tickets.
She needed to be doing the Voice of Reason. He just served all
no.
that time. She needed to be keeping him
no.
out of trouble.
No.
Let's get
on. Nikki is incapable of being the Voice of Reason for anything. So that's just a wrap. And she holds grudges. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I like some of Nikki's older work, some of her old music. I can't listen to damn near anything that came out in the last couple of years, except for the freestyle stuff. I pick her. I like her better than Cardi. I give you that much. I can't. Man, Cardi B is like, goddamn.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Nikki. So I'm disappointed in this whole situation. I'm disappointed in quite a few things when it comes to Nikki and the way she handles things. And she has this platform when she has the, you know, she has this platform, her Queen Radio, where, you know, sometimes she go off on there. Like, if she has an issue with somebody, boom, she will go off on there. But yeah, come on, Nikki, you better than that.
Yeah. All right, let's. That's pretty much. Those are the three big top stories. There's a couple of things in there I'm going to save because I don't know enough about it, and I couldn't find information about some of this stuff that some of these people are asking. They're asking about people I know you heard of and shit. So. Did you happen to watch the awards the other night?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, neither did I. See, all I know, I heard Meek got screwed over on one for one of the awards or something. I think I'm moving forward. I am going to. I can't believe I'm about to commit to this. I am going to make sure I see this stuff so we can at least one of us is informed.
Yeah, at least one of us. Because I don't watch awards.
Yeah.
So that's not him.
Yeah, because I will take the bullet for that one.
Appreciate it.
All right. So business. All right. Well, this first one is from, I can't pronounce this name, Shameka. Okay, Shameka from Queens, New York. She is asking, I don't know if you ever listened to us before. You didn't give us enough information, but okay. She is asking, what do you know about a company and its competitors? How do you get that kind of information? Okay, that's a rough one. We'll try to make sense of it.
Does she mean how do you find out who your competitors are, or
let's go with that.
Okay. Well, I mean, you research. You find out what's in the area. You find out because we have a business, and you're going to have a business that's the same as someone else's. You have to figure out what makes you different. Besides you being that owner, what else can you offer that make you stand out from everyone else? But, I mean, Google, you have Yelps, you know. You can find out what's in your area. You can find out, I mean, visit these places. I mean, you're not going to walk in and ask them a million questions, but depending on whether it's a physical location or online, do your research. Visit the sites, visit the locations. You know, Google and see what you can get from, you know, online. But that's how you're going to be able to see what's out there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, but that's how I would see what's out there. Anything to add to that, Hakim?
It's plenty of online data and tracking that you can do. You can check in with the Better Business Bureau to see First of all, find your competitors. Pick the one that is closest to you and the one that is would be considered or perceived as a direct threat. You know, you're on 52nd Street and your competitor's on 55th. That's walking distance, right? So that's the first person you need to check out. And then you need to do a secret shopper. Send someone in there to take a look around. You need to go in and look around and take a look. And if you see that you can't network with this person, this person is clearly a threat and they could take your business away from you based off of the products, and it's very similar to what you sell at a better quality and a lower cost, yeah, that's something that you need to investigate. You want to look into looking to see if there's any research on the Better Business Bureau Small Business Division. Check and see how their accreditation is. Go and look for their Google Business page, which have comments and reviews. You can tell a lot about a business based off of the way they present themselves. Do some brand research. Check them out. Look them over. See how their social media is flowing. If you see that they have 20,000-30,000 followers or subscribers and stuff, look and see look at the products they post and how the people responded to the products, especially the products that resemble your stuff. So if you sell shoes or shirts or hoodies or whatever, look and see the stuff that they have. You know your inventory. Take a look at their inventory that they're posting. Look and see how the people are commenting. Then look at what you post and look how the people are commenting to you. They could just, you could probably have or a better business than they have. They just have a better way of managing their business. So be careful how you move about with competitive research and opposition research, because you don't want to become judgmental and you don't want to sit there and start hating a company because they're doing what you're doing on a smaller level and more successful. Your inventory, you're sitting in the house with or at the store with $12,000 worth of inventory, and you had it for 2-3 weeks and you only moved $400. They're getting $8,000 in inventory. They had it for the same amount of time as you, and they sold $7,000. One of us ain't doing it right. So it's not just about the look of the competition and the product that they have. It's also about the approach, the marketing strategy. So you look at it and then you go back and take a look at your strategies, how you're doing things. There's a whole bunch of stuff I'm going to literally spend 2020 doing with a lot of my customers, including Queen Vi. I'm revamping everybody because the things that don't work, we can't do anymore. Especially if we see that it's a new year and there's new things happening, it's not going to work anymore. So we got to update how we manage the business. So, but yes, you should definitely look into how to deal with that sort of thing when it comes to competitive businesses. All right, this one is from shout out to NAF. I asked y'all to post y'all stuff on the page, but everybody too busy, so I got a bunch of crap in my inbox. When talking, this is shout out to Ren. This is from Ren. When asking questions to a business consultant, how important is it for them to have vendor affiliations?
Or you talking?
Oh, that is very, very important. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I thought I had police and fire ambulance and stuff. So, but yeah, that is super, super important. Okay, you see your business is in trouble. You see that you're ready to start a business. You see that you want to revamp your business. You need help. So you're going to reach out to a business consultant, much like myself. The first question that you need to be asking is about questions about trust, right? Then you want to throw in some questions about their experience. Then you want to know about their experiences with businesses like yours. Then you want some examples. Then you want to see, okay, well, what about your vendor affiliates? Because if I'm going to take you on as a client, and I see that you have a business that I could maybe mesh you with Queen Vi. Hey, I got a subscription based company. I want to find things to put in the subscription box. People pay $50 a month. I send them a box of goodies. Guess who can get you some nice $5 jewelry? Guess who can get you some nice creams and stuff for your Valentine's Day box, some sex toys. You network your vendors. You know, I'm talking, for instance, I'm talking to a guy who got a piece of property and he wants to use it he doesn't want to use it for commercial use, but he wants to use the space to have events. So, now it's time for me to start thinking about networking events. Oh, let me call Zio Styles. Or let me call Queen Vi. Tell her come on down here for a weekend. Oh, let me call Putnam Work because we're going to need a place to have a listening party for the new mixtape or something coming out. So you look at your affiliates, the people you're already working with, or you got something going on, so you want to reach out to someone who has a space, who is utilizing it, and you want to put them two together so they can both make money together. So now you look like a hero. So, you know, and that's kind of vendor affiliates is very, very important, especially when you're trying to turn over the keys to your business to a consultant. Got anything you want to add to that, Queen? I'm banging my gums today. God damn.
I don't know. No, this is all you.
Y'all got to forgive me because I'm losing my voice. Like I said, I've been in dad mode. And I'm one of those dads. Yes, I yell, I scream, and yeah. So I'm kind of hoarse. Let's see, what's the next one? Okay, this one is from Kimmy. Hey, Kimmy, long time no hear. Should we look for help from the States? When she's saying we, I'm assuming she's talking about over in Jamaica. Should we look for business help from the States to improve a business in the Caribbean islands?
I don't think it would hurt. I mean, if you search and see what's out there, you know, I don't know much about over there and their policies, if they have grants, loans, if they have, you know, programs and stuff out there. But I say if you have them out there, utilize them.
I'm going to say most definitely, but it depends on the type of business that you have out there, because there may not be, it has to be the right mesh. You know, if you have a bar and grill somewhere that's close to the resorts, that they don't have to go up and listen, no one is driving except crazy ass people like putting in work. Nobody's driving up in Moscow, Jamaica. Okay? That's some scary shit. That ain't what's the boy named Dexter? What was the boy from oh God. Well, Angela Bassett, when she went and got the young boy.
Stella got a groove back.
Yeah, what was his name? What was the young boy name? Scott. He's Tay Diggs, but he played a character, and I can't remember the character name, you know, but he's little clean, you know. Somebody help me. I know one of y'all boo-loving movie people know. But anyway, Winston, there we go. Shout out to Zaya. Winston. Well, that ain't Winston. That ain't Shaba. That ain't nothing. You getting goons. I'm talking about dudes who stuff their ex-girlfriends in barrels and cans and roll them down the street. Dudes hungry. They, you know, they out there in the back with the jar making fresh castor oil and stuff like that, where they're doing it in the backyard. I'm talking about real gritty, grimy. There's parts of the island that my big ass ain't going nowhere near. Ain't no blue waters. So it won't benefit you and your business if it don't mesh. So if you have something, for instance, if you're looking for an investor to produce, hey, there you go, castor oil. There's a lot of, for you ladies who don't know, you got to connect, you got a family member, you got anybody in the Caribbean, especially Jamaica, see who is into castor oil. I'm talking about raw, pure castor oil that you can cut five times and still make money here. I know a castor oil farmer, and she's just waiting to get her stuff together so she was looking for people who can invest because she wants to ship it here and make American money. So it's stuff like that that actually works. You know, you could reach over to here, to America, and do some business networking with some of the salons or maybe the people who make lotions or skin creams and stuff like that. There's hair tonics. You know, you'd be surprised how there's some hidden jewels over in the Caribbean. And we have to definitely network together to get this money, because, you know, $50-$60 over here ain't nothing to us, but $50-$60 over there is something. You know, they're paying bills over there with $50-$60. We spend that on lunch in 2 days. All right, let's see. All right, it's the same old, same old. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk some news. All right, well, someone who shall remain nameless, they want to know is that, did that orange fuck get ran out of the office yet? Oh, I love it. No, he's still there.
Yeah, he's still here.
He is still there. oh, boy. All right. Here's another one. Hey, my man Malik. Malik says he's heard the story about more schools in the area of PA, Jersey, and Delaware who are soon to be teaching kids coding in 11th and 12th grade. And do we see this as being good for the economy?
Coding, like some computer programming and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good. Now, you know, I think the whole objective in these schools is, like, I like when the schools have something extra that these kids can learn. So when they get out of high school, you know, it's easier to continue along in college or to start working on, you know, a career, you know, getting a job in a field that they like, that they're learning and making advancements. But as far as the economy, it's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be good. Like my son, he's in seventh grade. He takes robotics. You know, it's kind of these kids up to to be able to explore, you know, different things.
Mm-hmm.
When you brought your choices, then they're more likely to start liking different things and want to go to college or want to get jobs in fields when they're younger to be able to grow within a company.
Yeah, I definitely heard about it. I had a couple of great conversations. This is something that they're pushing for in the Northeast. Do I see it happening? Yes. Is it going to happen in our communities? That's what's more important to me. I'm a big fan of STEM schools. I think we need more of them. In the Black community and Hispanic community, because we need to introduce more than just reading and math and science and the basic stuff, just book learning. STEM schools, they're using their hands, they're learning videography, they're learning I love the STEM school over in Chester, PA. My kids went there. Amazing school. They're out in King of Prussia 2 times a month having robot battles, robots that they built from scratch using their hands. So, yes, we need to put that kind of science into schools where they can learn coding. You can graduate and you'll have, you know, and would even be better if they can graduate with a couple credits already under the belt. That'll make it good. So make job search a little easier. We're about out of time, Queen.
Okie dokie, we will have a part 2 to the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thanks for you guys' questions. It's Talk Tuesday. We'll be here for Therapy Thursday. We're having part 2 on Thursday.
Yes. Oh, okay. Ooh. Sex. Fetishes.
Oh.
Nastiness. Debauchery. Oh, debauchery.
Yes, we cover everything here. Thanks for the new listeners. Appreciate you guys, and hope you continue to listen and spread the word. Any shout outs or last pieces before we sign off?
No, thanks everybody. We'll see you Thursday.
Okay. That concludes our show. Till next time. Good night, everybody.
Peace, y'all.